today in Yom Kippur there is an Avodah of Tshuva, which in many ways is not different than any other day. The chiyuv to do tshuva is a chiyuv that is, again, every day. It's a mitzvah that has no gevulos, especially. It's not, whenever a person's done averi, has a chiyuv to do tshuva. So, as such, Yom Kippur is just another day like that. And it seems as if the Rambam says that it's a zman keitz of chila and slicha, something about Yom Kippur that's unique. There's besides the regular tshuva of every tshuva, there's some tshuva here that is very special, and a whole dimension of tshuva that's not really shayach all year round. Let's be a little bit misboining in the yonim over here, and then we'll be able to get a feel for the depth of what Yom Kippur tshuva is. The first thing, let's take a look at what the kapara is on. It says that the kapara is goes in to the kodesh. It says by Aaron HaKohen that the chipel haKodesh mitumis meisov b'shem chatesov. He's mechapa on the kodesh. The kodesh means the kodesh kodashim, obviously. Mitumetz me Yisrael, umipishem ratos v'chenyasa leol moed hashoch niitam utech tumasim. And also in the old moed. Now, the karbanis in general are karbanis that are done in karbanis on the moedis are karbanis that are done in Atibim Chaper on Tumas Kodesh or Mikdash. That's what they're there for. Machloikas in the Mishnah exactly, but Akapanim, there's a Kapara there for Tumas Kodesh and Mikdash. It makes a lot of sense that the Beis HaMikdash is meant to be the Makom Kapara. If anything happened to the Makom Kapara, then really in a certain sense you've messed up the Echetimtza to be mechap and other things. It's very frequent, you have so much going on in Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim being makriv and makdir and doing all sorts of things there all the time. It's inevitable that something would have happened, and that's why we have kapara on it constantly. That makes a lot of sense. What is difficult to understand is the tahara that we need for the Kodesh Kodashim. Kodesh Kodashim is never, ever, ever used, period. It's not, no reason for anyone to go into it. There's no clear avodah there. So the only reason the Kohen goes in once a year is in order to be mechapa in case somebody was metame something. Well, don't go in. No one's ever going to be mitame. Very, very difficult to understand. A second element of this kapara that's hard to understand is the place for the zrika. In all karbanis, the spraying of the dam, the zrika, was the thing that created the kapara. You always wanted to put it onto the wall of a mizbeach, the horn of a mizbeach, a person's ear, a person's foot. In other words, the blood touching and reaching anybody's any particular element was its kapara, and that makes a lot of sense. On Yom Kippur, in the Kodesh Kodashim, the blood was not on anything. It says he was zorekit in the direction of the kaporis. It says kematzlif. He would sort of spray it, not on it, but sort of some sort of trajectory path of sort of going towards that direction. the language that the Mishnah uses to describe it is al bein habadim, on top of the in between of the badim. It's like two prepositions next to each other, kind of very, very strange ones. What does it mean, al bein habadim? What doesn't those words together don't mean anything? Al bein habadim. It sort of sticks out here. That's a second element. There's a third element. It says v'chol adam lo yia ba'ohel. No one was supposed to be in the ohel moed, the kodesh, when the kohen gadol performed the kapar. Amar Rav Avuah, so it's the Yerushalmi. Avuah asks, the kohen gadol lo adam haya? Well, the kohen gadol himself was a person. Which is kind of a very, very strange question. I mean, the adam was not supposed to be there. I guess it's supposed to give him privacy, the kohen gadol. I don't know how to describe it. But whatever it is, that's sort of part of the... He needed to be there himself. Which is, okay, fine. But what is the point of the Kohen Gadol himself being a problem? And the answer is, Ella, Kadod Amar Pinchas, or Pinchas said, B'shah Shai Ruach HaKodesh Shori Olav, Hayupanav Boros Kelapidim Olav. When he went in, there was a Ruach HaKodesh, his face would begin burning like a torch. Hador Dechsiv, Kisif Se Koyin Yishmu Das, V'Toyin V'Akshim Piu, Kimalach Hashem Tzvokesu. That being that he was like a malach, so he wasn't really a person. That's the lashon of the it's the lashon of the Yishalmi, which is it kind of really, really begs the question of how could it won't be the problem of the kohen being there when the kohen's mechaber. If you need the kohen gadol mechaber, that's what you need. That's something really important to think about. We also find that there was a minyan, there was a count, and the count was the kohen gadol would count achas, that's the one milamala, and then achas lamata, tol shiva lamata, achas achas v'achas achas v'shtayim, like we say in the avoda. There's a machlokus in the Gemara. If let's say the kohen didn't say achas achas v'achas achas v'shtayim achas v'sholosh, is it a problem or not? So one man the Yoma holds it's not a problem, because the reason is simply he shouldn't forget. So Loza says if he didn't forget, then it's great, then he has it. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Even if he didn't forget, still he's it's possible you need to count. Which is very, very interesting. What's the counting about? And it's probably the reason why we all say it together with the Nigni, because it's a very important part of Avodah. If it's there just not to make a mistake, so fine, it's a system. But here, the Mashmos is Machlokas, is certainly Mashma that he holds must be something very important about it in itself. And what could that be? So let's understand a little bit about some of the very deep areas of Avodas Hashem and what we accomplish and so on. Let's first put down this following point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world so that the different elements can relate, and he himself, Kaviyachu, can relate the world in two ways. One is what we would call cause and effect, where A has reaction B, has reaction C, reaction D. That's something which it's a process totally locked into a quantifiable, it's a quantifiable process, which means we are capable of putting it into a box and understanding the process. That's when the process is cause and effect and direct. There's a second process, and that process is a very tricky process. We see that A affects B, but there's no clear clear flowchart of how is it that affects him. The you know, basically, a person just been saying what he thinks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia on the world, and we don't get a handle of it. So in the world of nature and Teva, we see very clearly cause and effect. From the minute HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts something into motion, it follows an orchestrated trajectory, and it goes, you know, we can predict and tell. And there's some things that are just a hashpa in the world, and we can't fathom where it's come from, what it is. That's true about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. We have parallels to this on ourselves, and that is the ability for the mind to dwell in the brain, the mind-brain relationship. In the sense of the brain is a very physical entity. We can deal with the physical properties of it and treat it in terms of cause and effect. What effect oxygen will have, medication will have, damage, physical damage. Those are real entities, and they're as predictable as almost nature. But its relationship to the mind, how is a mind that transcends it tied to it? We don't really have a good idea. We just know to be true, and that's about it. How does the mind affect the body when you have psychosomatic effects and the mind is affecting the body? We don't have any really good way of describing it. That's the way it is. That's an example of the second part. So we have two types of ashpa's on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bria. We have ashpa's, we have processes that are within the Bria, and they belong to the world of cause and effect. And they are part of nature and the natural world, what we call nature and natural world, and they affect each other very, very in a very rigorous fashion. That's where the world of Avodas Adam is, and the world of Avodas Adam focuses on the person's and anything which is within the reach of his abilities to function, to do things. And that's the process of tshuva all year round, and of bechira. We have bechira to do mitzvah veris. We need to rectify things. We can rectify different things in different ways, and that's a process of normal tshuva. But there's a second part. The Chaya Adam in his Tefillah Zakah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a tzelem elokim that is above Etelma Kim of Kedusha, and because of our Averis, we have affected that Salma the Kim, and we were Meshach on ourselves, the God and Tzayim and Tmeir. In other words, where we are, what we did, is like, we've done things in this world that have destroyed other elements of us that are in a different world. We don't know how that has created. Chazal say in different places, if a person has a virus, his countenance becomes distorted. A virus mars image, his face. All of those are things that are not. They don't work within the structure of direct cause and direct effect. We have very clear structure of each mitzvah is a connected a certain aver, and that we should be able to identify the issue depending on the aver. So the person part film should affect the hand, you know, the rochnistic hand, of course, but that's it. The concept of the tselem, just the entirety of the person together, is something that is unique. It's something that is, it belongs to the realm of the beyond, where Yad Adam is. So the neshama to the guf, the seichel to the mind to the brain, those are examples of entities that are linked, but the linkage is not something that can be described in human rational terms, and therefore we also are pretty helpless to do anything about it. Just like we can understand, it's so much easier to understand when a person breaks a hand what to do, because it's just fixing the hand, versus a person who has lost his mind to some degree. Much, much harder, whole different world. That is the second dimension of Avoda, and that's something that could not be normally because it's not part of a normal Avoda. On Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a special chesed to be able to do things in this world, and we can resurrect that soul of Kedusha, or we can hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu resurrects it for us. But that's where we can address that issue. The Beis HaMikdash is an accurate reflection of the world, of a person's own cotton. Beis HaMikdash is also sort of an own cotton. The Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash is the equivalent of the mind or the neshama in the guf. In other words, it's not directly a makom avoda. It's not a makom avoda, and it can't be a makom avoda. And therefore, there's nothing we can do, and there's no avoda for us to do in the Kodesh Kodashim, because it's beyond Adam. It doesn't need Adam, and it's beyond it. But once a year, when we do Averis, we do two different types of pagamim. There's one that's very specific to us, and that would correspond to all the outside elements in the Mishkan Beis HaMikdash. And then we also are pogam in the Tzelem HaMakim. And that's something that's not, we don't send the process, and therefore we don't have a handle on it to be able to be talking. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us once a year to be able to touch that chelik of a person as well. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the part that's the core of the Beis HaMikdash, but we don't go into it. We don't see the connection. What connection does the lechem and the dam and the shemen have with it? We don't know. That's what Kodesh HaKadoshim was about. It needed kapara, because every time a person did an aver someplace else, it would leave a repression on the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because it's just like a person's face mirrors his activities, and there's a Tzelem HaMakim of Kedusha for people that are engaged in things like Kodesh, and there's a Tzelem HaMakim of Tumah, of Esavusa, for people that have done things they shouldn't do, and that's what they're the apostle of. That's over here where we're going with it. The Tzelem HaMakim is being dragged with us, and we need to find what's going to happen. The Hazor was not directly on the place of the Kaparas zone, because to emphasize that point, that we're not connecting with the Arid, we're connecting with the Bein Habadi. We're connecting with the chelik that we really can't locate, that we really can't pinpoint, not with our measurements, not with our physical measurements. And therefore, all we can do is make us weaker to a general area. V'chol Adam lo yir v'kodesh, no one could be there, because really, this world is mufka from Adam. It's interesting enough that the Kohen Gadol was the one who did all the avoda. The Pashto Pshat in Kohen Gadol did all the avoda. Is that he is a he's someone who is a chashev and the best, and most important, most significant. You know, right? Oh, that's definitely right. There's another element in Kohen Gadol that really, really fits for him to be the Ovid of today. The Chinuch says that a Kohen is not allowed to be metamei the Meisim, right? Because he's more elevated, he's more kadosh. He's allowed to be metame to his own family, because he can't be a malach. He needs to take in the loss of his own family, the crying. It's as if the Torah sort of gave in to human needs to allow for human needs. So what about a Kohen Gadol? Why a Kohen Gadol can't do the Beis Hamikdash? So the language he uses is, he says a Kohen Gadol is someone who's already more there than here. And as his sense of somebody leaving this world is not, his sense of a person who left this world is that basically he's arrived home, kind of. It doesn't feel that he's gone or it's somewhere in oblivion. He himself sees himself as being closer to that world than to this world. So the Kohen Gadol himself, who is that person, also had to be a step above and be malach-like, because the makom that he went into was not a makom negias adam. It's interesting that in Tumah itself, there are the vast majority of Tumah occurs through a touching process. Touching, jiggling, has to be contact. The one exception is Mace. A Mace who is Tame, a Mace who's Metame through what's called Ohel, which means he sort of is a is above and beyond. It's not something that he can it's not by touch. It's sort of a type of process where he is affected. The mace affects through some process which would be akin to this type of, it's not touching, it's just being mashpia. That's the process of Tumas Meis. And therefore, the Tumah of a Kohen Gadol is a Tumah, therefore the Tumah of a Meis is something which, it's beyond Maisa Adam. It's sort of just being in the presence of Tumah. It's a Hashpah, not a touching. When we speak about the Tire of Yom Kippur, the Mishnah says, Mikvi Yisrael Lashem. And it says also, in the process of Tahara, it requires some avod on our part. We go to mikveh. That's a mice of Tahara, that's bidei Adam. That certainly has to be done. But then there's a part, anyone who became Tommy through Thomas Mace needs to have someone else take him out. He needs to have somebody be zorig on him, mayim tahorim, and to be mitayim. Yom Kippur includes, it certainly requires avodas hatshuva, but it requires more than that. It requires a Kadosh Baruch Hu be mitayim. I want to add one more dimension that fits into this, that this is part and parcel of it. When we ask ourselves, we daven so much in the Torah to accept our tshuva. What's the point of that? We're here to do tshuva, the mitzvah to do tshuva. If we do what we're supposed to do, we do what we're supposed to do. You find, for instance, in Bein Adam Lechaveiro, the Shulchan Aruch has a simen that you're mechuyev to be meratzeh and defias people on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a Chosh Mishpat Halacha also. And the Chosh Mishpat Halacha is that you damn it, you have to be a vice also. And this halacha belongs there. Just like in the general sense of doing tshuva Erev Yom Kippur, you're supposed to do tshuva and everything. And if a person out of traffic kitchen, you're supposed to kasher it. It's not going to say you're supposed to kasher your kitchen Erev Yom Kippur. Why on this nekuda being meratzeh chaver does it say? And obviously because it's common and people's eyes. I'm not going to question the practicality of it, but I'd like to understand that this is part of a much bigger picture. In Bein Adam Lechaveiro, I once heard from a Rebbe of mine, we don't ever speak, there are many halachas that pertain to a person's field. Matnas Kahuna and Matnas Aniyam and Kalayim and Arlan and so on. No one speaks about mitzvahs being Adam L'Sadehu. And the reason is because the mitzvahs are done with the field, but the mitzvah doesn't create, there's no new reality between the two. There's no bond formed between me and my field. The field has requirements. When a person does a mitzvah ben adam l'makom or ben adam l'chavero, there's the mitzvah itself, the obligation or the prohibition, and then there is that relationship between the two that rests in within that context. A person whom I treat well, within that relationship there lies friendship, there lies love, and so on. The same thing has been Adam Lamakom. It's like the Bein Habadim. Between those two, there's a third entity of a relationship, and that sits between the two. Yom Kippur is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Chasto allowed us a way to be metaken that relationship. Let's go back to a point we made before about the person's goof. If a person is injured in one aver of his and affects only aver, a person broke a finger, you mend it, and, you know, no matter if you wait a few minutes, but mend it, it heals back, it's back again, good. If a person, let's say something affected his heart, and an hour later you give him a second heart, there's nothing to be mechayev. You can put the pieces together, the physical pieces that you can deal with, but life, the life force, whatever that is, doesn't exist. And with the brain. So in the tikkunim of tshuva, you could have affected the pieces themselves, but that element that lies above it, which is the tzelem elokim on a person personally, the kesha between with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chaverus with the chaver, all of those elements cannot be possibly that can't be replaced by Adam. We don't have the ability to do it. Yom Kippur is the is this man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, a kohen gadol who is almost not human anymore, who comes in as a malach, can go into the place that really is beyond reach of Adam. And that's why Adam Leah Bevor HaKadosh Lechapa, it's mufka from Adam. And the Zrik is not on one particular spot, it's on the Bain, it's Al Bain about it. It's Kematzlev. He has to keep counting Achas Bachas Asvish time. He has to keep understanding that, yes, there will be seven Zrikas Lamata, they're Mechubu, the one Lamala. That's part of that counting process. That enables, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas has enabled us to also be metaken that intangible part that should have been offered to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to repair the Tzal Melekim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to be Meratzim and Vais Chaverim, so that there's a Yom of Chaverus again and Yedidus and Avda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to repair that Neshama between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The schus of Yom Kippur is that Mikri Yisrael Hashem, we have there's a mikveh element to it where we do the Maisa Kapara and we become, and we do the Maisa Tshuva, we become the Skata. And then there is the Zarakte Lechemayim Torim Kadmukum Mosechem. For the Tumas Mace, where something has affected us in a very different way, that becomes the Kippur works for as well. That's the special matana of Yom Kippur. It's a time we need to be mechaven and understand it. We're not going to do it the day, we can't do the day, but we can understand that this is the mahalach, that we're stalling to the Zachem HaKarim Tadu from the Sechem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Zat Hashmai to do tshuva where we need, and the matana miyuchedus to get kapara in those places that Al Mokhavari doesn't reach. Mark, same thing.